His lapel is on, Dave. We're all set to go.
Hey, brother. Figured you folks had enough sense to do something else on Saturday night except come to church. But I'm glad you're here. And I want to say a lot of credit is given to people, and I appreciate all the nice things that have been said. But it's one thing to start a work by the grace of God, but it's something to worry about it after you've left. Now, thank God for the man that you sent. I'm not blowing smoke, brother. I'm just going to tell it like it is. And if you don't like it, God called a man to fill the place of the pulpit when I have to leave. And I figured at 72 years of age, it's time for me to go ahead and give somebody else a chance to preach the Word of God. And so I dropped back out and turned it over to Brother Mike. You've got a heritage here.
Amen.
God bless your heart. No, God bless your heart. God ought to kill you if you have any complaint about this place.
Amen.
I don't care what it is. You grumble and murmur about anything about this place, God ought to kill you. I say it as tenderly, as sweetly as I can. He's paid a price. I thank God for it. Well, he came to me, and I'm hung up now. That's all right, I get it. I get it, brother. He came to me in October of 1948. October of 1948, we weren't even engaged. I was dating a cute little redhead. Man, she was the cutest little thing you ever did see. Now I'm old and decrepit and can't even put my glasses on. The invitation was given and she punched me in by the sleeve and said, I want to go get saved. And I said, don't get excited now. We'll take care of this thing when we get home. Bowed my head and pretend like everything was all right. Everything wasn't all right. The fire going on. She pulled my sleeve again. She said, I want to get saved. Tears were coming down her cheeks. And I said, come on now. Don't make a commotion here. These people will grab you and haul you down to the altar and I don't know what they do to you when they get you down there, so you better behave yourself. I was at church there. They would sing 15 verses of a song. Somebody had to get saved. If they didn't get saved, they wouldn't quit singing. Third time she got a hold of my sleeve and she says, I'm going. I'm going down and get saved. Whether you go or not. I followed her down. By that time, I was so deeply in love, it wasn't funny. Imagine me saying I'm deeply in love. It's changed over the years, though. She knelt, and they asked her if she was saved, and she said no. And said, do you want to be saved? She said, yes, I do. She knelt and said to me, are you saved? And I said, yeah, I got it. I got it good. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm doing fine. About that time, she got up from the altar. They didn't wear mascara. She didn't need mascara in those days. She had just rosy cheeks, just covered with tears. And I said, she's got something I need. I went down in an old-fashioned altar and just knelt down there and told Gabe, I said, God, I'll take it. Whatever it is, I'll take it. I'm not sure I understand it all, but I'll take it. And from that time on, we've been preaching. She and I have been preaching the Word of God across the United States and in some parts of the world. Now, I want to talk to you tonight. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never been saved, if you've never been redeemed, if you don't know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, you can know. You've heard enough music and enough song and enough words. But all we ought to say is amen. If you want to get saved, come forward and get saved. But I've been called upon to preach, and so I will. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'd like to talk to you about something important. If you're here and you've never been saved, would you please listen carefully? See, I can't help what I've been told to preach tonight. I can't help that. I've been told to do it. I've been told what to say, the manner I'm supposed to say it in, whatever the case may be. And so I say to you, I do not know any other way to do it except the way that I'm doing it. Man became God's enemy without any offense from on God's part. God didn't do anything to make you an enemy of him, of himself. God didn't do anything at all. We were the guilty ones. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us an interesting story here, and I love this portion of God's word, beginning with verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. If there was no other verse in the Bible about whether you should be a witness for Jesus Christ, here it is. Let me read that verse again. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ. What's that? What did he say? To wit, God was in Christ. God was in Christ. God was in Christ when he was on this earth. God was in Christ when he hung on that cross and took your sin and mine upon himself. I can't help it. That's what it says. I don't care what theological persuasion you might have. You can't change that. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their right trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. God's begging you today. Be reconciled to me. Be reconciled to God. As in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us. One of my favorite scripture verses. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Beyond me how people can say that they don't understand God's word. So simple. You made it so clear and so plain. You've called some ambassadors, whether it be by song or by word or by deed, whatever it may be. You've called some ambassadors. I pray that we might realize that we've been given this message of reconciliation. Father, thank thee for the High Holy Spirit that can accomplish that which I have no ability to accomplish. Thank thee what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard and our hearts have experienced even this moment. Bless and have your way. I beseech thee, Father. I beseech thee, Father, for that one that knows thee not as their personal Savior. Oh, Lord God, do that which only you can do. Conviction. Repentance. Reconcile them, Father, back to yourself. We'll be careful to give thee all the praise for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man became God's enemy without any offense on God's part. Nothing that God has ever done or ever will do that would cause you to be his enemy. It was man who became God's enemy. Man made no advance towards reconciliation or expression of reconciliation or regret that that peace was broken. I don't know about you, but I know before I was saved, I had no thought of making peace with God. Didn't know I had a war with God. I want to say this to you right here now. If you've never been born again, you are at enmity with God. Now look, please, don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. It's not what some man said, it's what God's Word says. Now if you want to throw that out, you can throw it out and then you have nothing. You have absolutely nothing. I love that old song, I took a look in the old black book. And it thrilled me through and through. And if you've been saved and born again, it's bound to thrill you too. I was reading along about going home. Found to my surprise, I'm already there in Jesus. I'm living on the other side. That's what it says. That's what he says here. The first overtures for peace were not made by man, the offender, but by our aggrieved and offended God. Let me say that again. I've been told that I should stay behind the pulpit and I jump around like I always do because they say I expend too much energy. So I'm going to try to stand behind this pulpit and preach to you. And it's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. Toughest thing in the world that I can do. But I'm going to do it. I guess when you get to be 84 going on 85, it's about time that you settle down to like a little kid. Last time I was away with this guy here, we were riding motorcycles up the mountains of, it's only been 2 or 3 years ago. Riding motorcycles up the side of the mountain in the Philippine Islands. It's having a great time. I thought that you would come back. You know, we were under conviction. Now that you've noticed my wife and she's been happy now, so we'll go ahead with the message, all right? You ought to know better than that. You don't. Our text begins with this declaration. All things are of God. Let me say this to you thinking. Let me say it to you tonight. All things are of God. Now I'm inching over. They got a guard over here, and they got a guard over here. If I step out of line, that guard will attack me. So that you understand, it's not that I'm getting old. It's at 175 radiation treatments for cancer about 3 years ago. I just sapped all my strength. I can't seem to get it back. So my wife beats up on me now, and I have to do what she says. That's one of the things she says. Just stand back there. All things are of God. You say, was your cancer of God? Yes. I told you this before, but there's some new faces here tonight, so I'll tell you again. I did my dead level best one time to try to get into the hospitals, into the cancer ward, because nobody was going in there. So I talked to the doctors, and the doctor says, you preachers cause too much trouble in your community. He said, we can't do that. We have to let everybody in. If we let you in, you can't get in. I had a burden. I don't know how much of a burden it was, but I wanted to get in there and talk. Because if you ever see people under chemotherapy, it's the most horrible thing in the world, I think. My heart went out to them. Somebody needed to tell them there's a Savior in heaven who loved them, gave himself for them. So God gave me cancer so I could get into the cancer ward. When the doctor says, you've got cancer, advanced stages, I says, it's all right. Well, go ahead. You can interpret all you want to. It's fine. It's okay with me. In fact, I'd be happy if you did. And for 3 months, I went to the cancer ward every day, getting radiation treatments. Doctor saying, I don't know whether it's going to do it or not. Going all through kinds of testing, of all kinds of testing. But the first thing I did when I got in the hospital is I walked up to the doctor. There you go, stuck his foot out. Walked over to the doctor. I said, doctor, do you remember me? He says, yeah, you're the preacher that wanted to get in here and preach. He and his brother ran the cancer ward. And I says, yeah. And I says, I'm in here preaching the word of God. You can't stop me. I got cancer. Glory to God. Now, some of you folks may not understand that. I'm not afraid to die. I have no fear of death. I have no fear of death. If something would grab my heart, if God would grab my heart right now, and I'd have a heart attack and fall down there. Boy, don't any of you nurses try to get me back. I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again. Don't you suck me back. Let me go. I'm going home. No mouth-to-mouth resuscitation for me. My wife would not permit it. From the first to the last, reconciliation of man is the work of God. To God must be all the glory. Amen. This is what they've been singing about. I trust and pray that you've got a hold of that thing. I don't know. I think some of you need your shouters sharpened. Because I was ready to have an epileptic fit here. I tell you something. I don't know about you, but I tell you, I rejoiced. He came to me. When I couldn't come to him. Hey, brother, he came to you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Reconciliation. Reconciliation. That means make peace with God. I can't make peace with God. I don't know how to make peace. I can't make peace in my own family half the time. How can I make peace with God? And the demands of God were clear and plain. You don't make the peace. He makes the peace. Messengers of reconciliation are, listen to me please now. He's talking about here, messengers of reconciliation. Those who are to tell, to get men to have peace with God, those men who say, are men and women who are ambassadors for Christ. Are messengers are sent from God to man, and all ambassador messages, all of God. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. How many people here are saved? Would you hold your hand up? And put it back down. You have the ministry of reconciliation. Who did you tell today? Who did you tell today that God wants to have peace with them? Now, I'm not preaching. I'm just reading from God's Word. The ambassador is not sent from man to God, but from God to man. Who hath by Jesus Christ, the Son does the atoning. Method is substitution, all of God. God is beseeching man. Message last night was as clear and plain on justification as I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You missed it last night, you missed it. But I'm just going to carry on from there. Christ speaks through man, be ye reconciled to God. Look at verse 20 of chapter 5. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. In Christ, say it just like Jesus Christ would say it.
That's right.
So I'm going to begin by talking to you about who these messengers of reconciliation are at first. From the text, they themselves were once enemies of God. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That means that you and I were out of fellowship with God. And he has reconciled himself, us to himself. He's the one that did it. But what I'm trying to say is this, that from this text it says that they themselves were once. Let me say this to you, sinner friend. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, sinner friend, I don't brag. I was a sinner once too. I know what you're feeling in your. I know what you're feeling in your shoes. I know how it is. I don't brag about it. We weren't better in nature or conduct. Are you sinful? Are you sinful? So was I. That's an ambassador. An ambassador is a man who has experienced God himself. Are you rebellious? So was I. Are you hard-hearted, sinner friend? So was I. I speak from here tenderly to tell you this. I know what a sinner feels like. I know what I felt like that night when I saw my wife kneeling there. I knew that I was just like as if God was saying to me, buddy, you've got your last chance. You better wake up. You're messing with God. You're messing with me. So I've been asked by him to give you this message. What you do with it is your business. But I beseech you, I beg of you, if this message goes forth, that you'll see the need in your own life of receiving Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. I remember that day. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. God could have sent angels, but he sent us, you and I. My dear people, I'm talking to you now as a Christian. You are an ambassador of the glorious gospel news. I'm glad you're excited, boy. I'll tell you that. All two of you. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And God has called you. And you have no other choice in the matter, my dear friend. You joined hands with him, and you better get the job done. I'm so glad to see these youngsters down here. This whole row of youngsters over here singing. I tell you, that's a joy. Starting at that age to tell the story of Christ. Aren't you ashamed of yourself, adult? Well, some of you, how many was it? About 25 of you went to the rest home. Maybe God's going to have to put you in a rest home to make you feel what it's like to be in a rest home. It must be a terrible thing. My wife and I have done rest home work for years. We were in the same boat once upon a time, we ambassadors. We've been given a message, but my dear friend, we were in the same boat. The reason we can give the message is because we know what it's like. And I beg of you and implore to you, listen, don't turn your back on God. He's so good.
Amen.
He's so kind.
Amen.
A wonderful Father.
Yeah.
And he wants to forgive you.
Amen.
Though once enemies, we were now reconciled. And we preach what we know. We were led to see our evil. Amen? That's three more of you. I think before the message is over, I'll have the crowd with me, maybe. We were led to see the bitterness of our soul. My God was in a little bottle. And I traded him for the big God. And I've never been hungry for a drink since. We were led to see the emptiness of purpose. What purpose does a man or a woman have in life? Think about it. What purpose do you have in life if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you do not know for sure that you're going to heaven, go to heaven when you die, what purpose do you have in life? Nothing but fear and worry and concern. Where will I spend eternity? I beg of you. I beseech God in your stead. I beg of you, please, don't turn this message aside. It may be the last time you'll hear it. We were led to see our Savior nailed to a cross for our sin. Our guilt is gone. We were led to see that we are free from sin. No enmity toward God. Rather, we love Him and desire to do so. I'm going to move along because we spend a lot of time on the music, and I'm going to finish this message up. I have no quarrel with Him. I tell you, He is a good friend. He is a kind Father, willing to forgive, and does those who come to Him through Jesus Christ. My dear friend, come to Him through Jesus Christ. The only way you can come to God, my friend, and get to heaven is to go come through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. I don't care what you've heard. I don't care what you've read. It's somebody, what some man wrote, but this is what God wrote. Amen. In this book. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Somehow I pray you'll be influenced by our testimony. Somehow I pray that you've sat here tonight and you've listened to these boys and girls and these musicians and singing a song. And I don't mind. I know he doesn't mind my saying this, but that blind pianist, things are looking up for him. Can you imagine that? Oh, Jesse, the first thing he'll see when he gets to heaven is Jesus. All he sees now is darkness. But one of these days, face to face, I like to be around Jess. I like to be around about that time. Boy, there'll be a shouting time. Glory, glory, glory.
Amen.
Ambassadors of God were reconciled to God by Jesus Christ in the same way as any sinner. We know there are people who say that you can go to heaven some other way. But you never find that in the book. Now, why is it we believe everybody in any other book in the whole wide world, but we won't believe this book? Why is it they make fun of this book? Why? Why is it they make fun of this book? I'll tell you why. Because there's a force called the devil in this world to try to keep you from going to heaven. If you don't believe that, you're about two stories short of a brain. When I get to heaven, I owe my cleansing to the blood of the Lamb. Nobody could be any more secure than I am. Nobody could be any more humbler, lower gratitude than I before the throne. I'm cleansed by the same as you must be cleansed, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. A dry message. No rah, 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 fight, team, fight. No cheerleaders up here cheering you on. It's a dry old message, just a dry old message. But it comes from the book. I don't have anything else to say. There's nothing else I can say. I've got to say what God told me to say because I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Amen? I am an ambassador. I'm to tell the story as it is. I'm not to make it up. I'm not to give you some of my desires. It's a story that God told me to give. You do what you want to with it. From the text that's been, it's made, we who have been reconciled to God have a message to deliver which has been given to them. Look at verse 18. Let's just stay with the book. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the word of reconciliation. You see, we have nothing to tell you but what God has told us. We have no original ideas. We have no invented gospel. We have no new fresh heresy. It's God's message and we dare not change it. God hath commended to us His grace and His love through Jesus Christ. We dare not change it. And we're living in a day and age, and I come from a part of the United States. As I've traveled across the United States, we've been traveling now for a solid month. First it was St. Louis, Missouri, then it was Kansas City, and then here, and I don't know where it'll be from there on in. We have no other message. That's the same message. Listen, you heard this message last night if you were here. We didn't change it. It's the same message. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Jesus Christ paid the price for sinners. And God was satisfied and pleased with it and brought Him forth alive from the grave forevermore. You have the hope of eternal life because of what He did. It's God's message. We dare not change it. My pleading will not do it, but in the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not what I say, but what God says. I tremble to think, my dear friend, I tremble to think that He is not present with us here tonight. So I don't know how that could be possible. Neither did Israel when Achan sinned. And the whole tribe paid the price. It's time that God's people got their hearts right and began to recognize what God expects of you and what God wants of you and what God demands of you. And there is a judgment seat of Christ coming, and we're going to give an account for the gifts that God's given us. Before I beseech God for sinners, before I began to beseech men to become saved, I beseeched God. You forgive me if I stumble around a little bit. I'm allowed to do that. When I stumble too much, I'll quit. That's a promise. All I'm asking from God right now is this. As long as He wants me to preach, so He'll let me preach. When He wants me to quit, He'll make it so clear and plain that it'll be very easy for me to understand. That's pretty hard for a hard-headed Czechoslovakian. Please tonight, if you're not saved, please tonight before you take your last breath, please be reconciled to God. Please be reconciled. God wants to have peace with you. But it's only God's way. It's not man's way. It's not through some man or some preacher or some angel. My dear friend, it's God Himself in Christ Jesus pleading for you. Please be reconciled. He was the one that was offended. You and I are the ones that offended Him. So now that you understand the position of the ambassador, let us go on to the second point. How many points have you got? 37? I've only preached 2. I've had 37 points in all my life. May the Holy Spirit of God break your heart for those who are lost. If there's anything that's needed in America today, in American Christianity, is broken-hearted Christians. We need to have some broken hearts for lost people. I think about my wife's family, on her side of the family, as far as I know. 3 brothers split hell wide open. How do I know? One of them went out cursing God because they wouldn't give him a drink. God help us to get a broken heart for lost sinners. It's nice to come to church. It's important to come to church. But my dear friend, let me say this to you. I want to declare to you this morning, this evening, that you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. God said so. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you something right here now. You'll answer to God for it at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't just nod there looking happy. This is too happy of a crowd. I've got to do something to make them unhappy. Let us consider the subject matter of our message. Reconciliation is to be obtained toward God only on the grounds of substitution. There's no way you can do it on your own. Somebody's got to do it for you. And thank God He's already done it on Calvary's cross. Jesus Christ died for it. He took your sin and my sin, put it on himself, went to hell, got a new pair of clothes, took that old garment off of it. Hey, listen to me. You know where my sins are? They're in the deepest part of hell burning. Let it burn, baby. Let it burn. Burn, baby, burn. He took off that gold garment and set it on fire. Today he sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for me. No weeping. Well, let's look at that verse 19. I think that's the one I want. To wit that God, this is amazing. This is an amazing truth. That God was in Christ. Do you understand that? Listen, my friend, do you understand that? Can you see that? God was in Christ reconciling. God was in Christ reconciling. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ on that cross when he nailed him. They nailed God on that cross. Acts 20, 28. It isn't just some stranger. It was God in Christ. In his death, Jesus Christ bore the whole burden of human sin. God laid it on him, but God never put anything on his soldiers that he doesn't carry on for himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. There hath no temptation taken man, but God is faithful, not suffering to be tempted above that you are able. But will with the temptation make a way of what? Escape that you may what? We like that. Don't like that last part, that we may be able to bear it. I want to say something, my dear friend. You can find glory in anything that you want to look at if you're honest with God. All things work together for good to them that love God, them that are called according to his purpose. I don't want this to be a hoop-hoop, rah-rah message. I want this message to sink. I'm asking God to make this message sink. Sink deep in the hearts of people. Our message is substitution. No rites, no rituals, no inventions. All alike. It's in the death of Jesus Christ that you and I have our sins atoned for. Substitution. But again, I repeat to you, according to verse 19, it was not apart from God. See, all things are of God, is what we started out reading. God was in Christ. Look at the cross in this light. Next time you see the cross, you think about the cross. Next time you start preaching about the cross, witnessing about the cross. Remember, it was God in Christ on that cross.
Amen.
How much clearer can I make it? Is not Jesus a stranger who hangs on a cross to gratify the Father's vengeance? It is God who, in one of his divine persons, bears the penalty which the inflexible laws of right and justice demands of sinful man. Be ye reconciled to God. Then I'm going to tell you the consequences of God's having reconciled the world to himself in Jesus Christ. He's able now to deal with sinners as if they had never sinned. Look at verse 19. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. My dear friend, not imputing. Excuse me a minute now. Don't get frightened now. Can I have a little glory here? Glory! I'm no longer a sinner. I'm saved. I'm free from sin. I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to heaven. I don't deserve to go, but he's going to take me there. See, if I'm in Christ, he's in heaven. See, I don't believe the Word of God. If you don't believe the Word of God, you don't believe Christ. If you say there's an error in this book, you know what you're saying? There's an error in Christ. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him was life, and the life of man. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. God condescended to come down with Christ, in Christ. And you say, I don't quite understand that. Neither do I, but I'll tell you something right here. I believe this book. It's the only way to heaven, my dear friend. Only when I walk in that heaven's gates, they can accuse me of everything else they want to, but I'll just tell them, I just came by the blood of the Lamb. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed me from all my sin. That's all I can tell you, God. Somebody says to me, what are you going to do if you find out you get to heaven and the book wasn't the book? I just said, well, God, I believe it was the book. I believe that it was the book. I believe that you didn't make any mistakes. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. He treats sinners as if the sins were not there. Listen, He treats sinners as if their sins were not theirs. Just think, tonight if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, tonight if you were to die and you don't know for sure when you'd go to heaven, just think, listen, just stop and think now. Just consider this, how simply you can take care of the matter. Just confess to God that you're a sinner and accept Jesus Christ as your substitute for sin and you're fit for heaven. Is it that simple? Just that simple. Amen. Just that simple.
Amen.
Don't try to make any more out of it. I'm guilty, but He took my guilt and took yours. Doing pretty good here. Then I'm to tell you that there is nothing whatsoever needed in order for you, for your reconciliation and acceptance with God, except what Christ has already done.
Amen.
God was in Christ, and I've played on that long enough. Your good works, your tears, your feelings, your penance, whatever you do, my dear friend, I know some friends. No, I better not say that. Because I don't have too many friends left, and I better be quiet because I might lose them too. You know God wants you to do right now? Do you understand that sin was paid for by a substitute? That Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? That God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, and God wants... Now, all you got to do is this. Listen to me. God, I take it. I take it. I take it, God. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And God will do it.
Amen.
I take it. Why make it so difficult? Now I reconcile to God by the death of His Son. Now then you have the hope of His resurrection because God was satisfied. He brought Him forth alive from the grave.
Amen.
They tried to keep Him in that grave. They put Him in there. They rolled a stone over it and did everything in the whole wide world to keep Him in the grave. The devil got around. All the hordes of hell were around that stone. You know why? Because if He stayed in that grave over 3 days, then all of salvation was gone. It was done for. God was not satisfied. God was not pleased. And all the hordes of hell were around that place. And the devil himself was the cheerleader. And the first day, the old devil says to death, he says, you got a hold of him down there? And then death says, don't worry about it. I got him. He ain't moving. He's deader than a herringbone twill. And watch him. I'm watching him. Second day, the devil says, hey, Death, you still got him down there? Death says, I told you I got him. Don't worry about it. Things are okay. Man, he's stiff as a board. I got him. Hold him for one more day. Third day. Hey, Devil. Devil says, hey, Death, how you doing down there? I told you, man, quit worrying about it. He's dead. This is the third day. He's dead. He isn't moving at all. Well, Devil says, watch him now. Watch him carefully, you know, because this is the third day. And the devil says, or the death says, I am watching him, but I thought I felt him quiver.
Yeah.
I thought I felt him quiver.
Yeah.
Well, hold on to him. Hang on to him. We only got a few more hours, and the third day will be gone, and it'll all be over with. Well, man, listen, man, I don't know what's happening here. something going on down here. He's moving. Look out. Here he comes. And up from the grave he arose. Yeah. And with that he sealed forever. Justification. I want so bad to preach that message, but I couldn't preach it like you could, like you did, brother. That was a masterful job. I said to my grandson, I don't care whether you like it or not. Then I'm to tell you there's nothing else needed in order for the church. Listen, my dear friend, there is no priest, rabbi, preacher, good Samaritan, bad Samaritan. There's nobody can do anything for you. It's Jesus Christ did it all. It's all done. It's all taken care of. He died on that cross. Took your sin and that's it. It's done for. Hey, can I say this to you? It's done for. God says it's finished. Jesus himself said it is finished. Why would you try to add something to something that's perfect? I better stop there. Good works, tears, feelings, penance will not do it. You only have to accept what God has provided in Christ. Saved sinners, saved by God's grace. Okay, I'm closing. Crude message. It ain't like they used to be. You're ready for a preacher to jump up around and jump all over the place, but I can't do it anymore. It's all done for. It's done. Next thing will be to take a deep breath and wake up in glory. I had that experience in the hospital. The neurologist said that I came closer to death in the hospital than any time in my life. He told my grandson that. It was a weird experience. But it was a glorious experience. You know the messenger. Sinners saved by grace. You know the message. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now then, the manner in which the message is to be delivered. We're not merely to convince the intellect, but to beseech the heart and will. We are to warn, but not only warn. We're to be like beggars, bowing on our knees and imploring for bread when starving. That's how we are bound to beseech you. Oh, the compassion we lack. Oh, the compassion we lack as God's people. Oh, the compassion we lack. The compassion we lack. The compassion we lack. We're to beseech them in Christ's stead. I don't know about you, but I'm going to have to close on this. But when I look at that thing there, it says, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. That's how you approach sinners. Is that how you approach sinners in the nursing home this morning? Is that how you approach sinners on your job? And Christ said, do we have the compassion that Jesus had? I could go on and on and on and on. He set them before them their evil ways. He said, for which of these works do you stone me? And I ask you that question right now, and I'm going to close. Why would you say no to Jesus Christ? For which of his acts would you stone him? I beseech you as God did beseech you. I pray you as if Christ pleads. Why don't you surrender to him? What has he done that you should say no to him? Be ye reconciled to God. I beg of you. Be ye reconciled to God. If you're a sinner friend here tonight, I've done my dead little bus to tell you that we were in the same boat that you were. We came the same way you did. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. Why would you say no to him? Why would you say no to him? Because of some friend? Because of some religion? Religion won't take you there. Only Jesus Christ will take you there. I think most of you probably know this story. I think it's a great story. When the Twin Towers went down, you heard the story about Al? I'm sure that most of you have. Al's wife was very upset because of all the people that were getting phone calls from the 100th floor of the Twin Tower. His wife was the only one that didn't receive a phone call. Everybody else was calling their loved ones, saying, "Honey, we're not going to make it. This building's coming down. We're going to die. Goodbye. We love you." Everybody but Al's wife. Al was a Christian. His wife was a Christian. This is a true story. I don't know if you've ever heard it before or not. True story. She waited for a phone call, and all of a sudden the building came down, and she knew he was gone. And for a couple of months, she was very distraught. She thought she knew her husband. She knew he was a Christian. She knew that he loved her. But why didn't he call her? Why didn't he call her? Then the story came out. Somebody was on the telephone talking to somebody else when they saw what Al was doing. And they told Al's wife. He said, "You know, honey, the reason he didn't call you, he didn't have time to call you. He had over 100 people in a corner telling him of Jesus Christ before the building went down.
Amen.
Forsaking father and mother.
Yes. Yes.
Forsaking father and mother. He thought it more important to stop there and tell these men and women about Jesus Christ than to tell his wife that he loved her, which is something she already knew. What is it that's keeping you from being the witness that you should be? What is it that's keeping you? Al went to his death with over 100 people telling him it was Christ and telling him what they must do to be saved, knowing that the building was going to come down and he was going to die. He was up on the 100th floor. But couldn't take time, didn't have enough time to call his wife and tell her that he loved her. At least to say so long. Because he was about his father's business. Because he was an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Thank you for your patience. But I trust and pray that you've gotten something out of this message. If you're here without Christ, without hope, well, please listen to me. God's done it all.
Amen.
God's done it all. Why would you hesitate? What has God done to you that you would? And I read it to you from God's word.
Amen.
I give you some man's idea.
Right.
Be ye reconciled to God. Why don't you trust him as your personal savior and settle the question for once and for all? Child of God sitting here, sometimes too smug. What did you do today to tell someone the story of Christ? Don't give me any excuses. I don't know how. I showed you how tonight. Ryan showed you last night. Be ye reconciled to God. God wants to make peace. We need to tell men and women God wants to make peace with them. You put that news on tonight, and everything you hear will be peace, 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 peace. Everybody looking for peace, but nobody can find it. Tell you why? It's found in a person.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Without him, you can do nothing.
Amen.
He wants to reconcile you tonight. He wants to reconcile. He wants to make peace with God with you tonight. Give you that peace that passeth all understanding, that you can know beyond a shadow of doubt. There's no hope greater than hope in all the whole wide world than to know that beyond a shadow of doubt is you were to die, you'd go to heaven.
Amen.
If I don't believe that, that's your business. How about you tonight? Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer.
All right, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The Lord sent his ambassador tonight with a message for the church. Thank the Lord for the ambassador, and I thank the Lord for the message. And of course, every one of us here tonight need to respond to that message. God expects a response when he sends his ambassador. He expects a response. Now, for those of you in this room tonight that know you are saved, you and I were reminded tonight that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. That is our main priority. We were given a ministry of reconciliation. We were given the word of reconciliation. We were given the Spirit of God that calls men to be reconciled to God. And you and I are responsible to do that ministry. How's your ministry going? What kind of an ambassador have you been even today? As Pastor Mel said, have you told anybody about Jesus Christ today? Have you shared that good news with anyone at all today? Have you encouraged anybody or even prayed for someone to be reconciled with God? One day you and I are going to give an account for this ministry. You can't avoid that, and I can't avoid that. You cannot avoid that day. If you are saved, you cannot avoid that day when you will stand before Jesus Christ. Unavoidable. There have been a lot of things in your Christian life you may have been able to avoid. You cannot avoid this. You cannot avoid it. And if there was something in that message tonight that spoke to your heart as a Christian, and you know there are some things that you haven't been doing that you should be doing, that you need to be more faithful in your ministry as an ambassador, as a representative of heaven, a minister of the gospel, every one of us. If you know in your life, I haven't been faithful with that, Lord. I have not been faithful with that. Maybe you've let other things occupy your time. Maybe there have been too many unimportant things, crowd your life up so bad that you just don't have time. You think you don't have time to do the things you should be doing for the Lord. Well, I know that may satisfy you right now, but that will not satisfy the Lord when you stand before Him. You'll not be satisfied with that answer then. Now, if you're here tonight and you say, I know I'm saved, I know I'm on my way to heaven, but I know tonight there's something in my life. That message spoke to me, and there's something in my life as a child of God, as an ambassador of Christ. I know I am not where I should be. There are some things that need to be made right. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not writing down anybody's names. This is between you and God. If you be honest with the Lord tonight, you say, Lord, please help me tonight. Please help me. I am not where I should be with you, Lord. As a servant, as an ambassador, please help me. Make the things right in my life, Lord, that need to be made right. Is there anyone like that here tonight? Christian, you're here tonight? You'd say, yes, Lord, that's me tonight. Lift your hand and then put it right back down between you and God now. That's between you and Him. Now, you're being honest with God tonight. Now, take care of that with Him this evening. Let Him make that right in your heart. Confess that to Him. Repent of that tonight. Turn away from it with all of your heart. Ask the Lord for grace to be faithful, to be obedient. Respond to what the Spirit of God said to you tonight. We can't let these things go in one ear and then just out the other and go home, go on our way. But if God spoke to your heart tonight, let the Spirit of God know that you heard Him. And you answer the Lord tonight. Let Him know it. And I wonder tonight, is there anyone here in this room tonight you'd say, I don't know. If I died tonight, I do not know for sure. I do not know for sure that I would go to heaven. Now, the Lord made it clear tonight in that message that there is nothing left for you to do except to receive in your heart what was already done for you 2,000 years ago. There is nothing left for you to do. Not church attendance, not a religious life. There's nothing you can do to be saved except believe on Jesus Christ and receive what Jesus Christ did for you. Nothing else to do. That's how simple God made it for you tonight. Religion makes it complicated. It's a lifelong effort to keep doing the right things, hoping God will count you worthy one day. That's what religion says. Jesus Christ already did it all for you on the cross. He took your sin, as the preacher said tonight. He bore all that sin to Calvary, suffered your death, and took your hell so that you could have everlasting life. Now, if you're here tonight And be honest with God tonight. You'd say, if I died tonight, I do not know for sure. I do not know for sure if I died tonight that I would go to heaven. I do not know. I do not know. Please pray for me. Is there anyone like that? You just say, I do not know for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Could we pray for you tonight? Would you just lift your hand and say, please pray for me. I just want to be sure I have everlasting life. Is there anyone like that at all? It matters not at all what religion you came in this room with. It matters not at all what religion you grew up with. It matters not at all to God. It only matters what you do with what His Son did for you on that cross. That's all that matters to God. Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Jew, it matters not to God. That's not salvation. It matters what you do with Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, would you just lift your hand and let us pray for you? That's all we're asking you to do tonight. Can you be honest with God? Is there anyone at all here in this room tonight you'd say, Lord, being honest, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven if I died tonight. If you'll lift your hand, this church will pray for you. And we'll leave the rest with God. That's all we can do is pray and show you from the Word how you can have everlasting life. Could we pray for you tonight? Is there anyone at all? Just lift your hand and put it right back down. What a message tonight, clear and plain. Anyone? I want to wait. Was this message for you tonight? You'd say, I know I need to be saved. What's holding you back? What's holding you back? Fear of your relatives? Pride? That holds many people back. Pride. Some people cannot admit that they could have been ever been wrong about anything. I couldn't have been wrong all these years. And so pride will make you hold on to something that could be taking you to hell. Oh, friend, don't let your pride take you to hell. Don't let your pride. What is it? What is it that may keep you tonight from receiving the greatest gift that you could ever receive? Purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own dear Son. Friend, please, did God speak to your heart tonight? Let's not leave this room until it's settled in your soul tonight. Did God speak to you? Don't worry about the person beside you. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to embarrass you. But that first step of your salvation is simply acknowledging to God that you know you need Him. Could you do that tonight? Say, Lord, here's my hand. I know I need you tonight. I need to be saved. Could we pray for you tonight? Is there anyone at all? Oh, Father, Lord, you've seen the hearts of every boy and girl and man and woman in this room. There's nothing hidden from you, Lord. You know the real situation in each of our lives. And, Lord, there may be someone in this room tonight that's hiding behind their religion. They're hoping, Lord, that their own religious deeds, their own righteousness will help them in that day when they stand before you. Lord, show them the error of their thinking. Show them how wrong they are, Lord. Show them that only the righteousness of Jesus Christ could ever get them into heaven. And I pray somehow, Lord, in your own sweet way, Lord, somehow as you've done hundreds of times for the people in this room, you did it for us, Lord. You opened our eyes and you helped us to see. Lord, would you do it again? Would you do it for someone here tonight, Lord? Someone, Lord, who may be hiding behind something, Lord, hoping you don't really see them. But, Lord, open their eyes tonight and draw them by the Spirit of God. Draw them to Jesus Christ. And, Lord, help those believers here tonight, me included, Lord, that we might be better ambassadors for thee. Thank you for that precious responsibility that you gave to us. What a privilege that we might be ambassadors of Christ, so unworthy, Lord, and so unfit. But Lord, by your grace, may you help us to be faithful. May you help us, Lord, to say the things that we should say to the lost around us. Thank you for the word and the ministry you've given us. Lord, may you enable us. May you help us to be obedient. I pray for the young people, Lord. Thank you for their attention to this message tonight. Help the young people in this room tonight. I pray some young person's heart might be consecrated to thee tonight, Lord. May they just surrender all. May they just lay everything they got, their whole life, Lord. May they just lay it down on an altar before thee. May they just surrender everything to you tonight, Lord. If you're speaking to someone's heart here tonight, Lord, some Christian, a child of God, please help them to make it right this evening before they go out of this place. And we'll thank you and praise you, Lord. You alone get all the glory, and to you we give all the praise. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. We're going to stand together if we could, Brother Pat. Let's just stand together, get a hymnal. We're going to sing a song. We're going to be dismissed with a hymn. But even as we sing, if God spoke to your heart, it is not too late to get a thing right with the Lord. If you need to do that, or if you're not saved, would you please come? Would you just let us know that you want to trust the Lord, and we'll help you tonight, all right? Let's everybody stand, get a hymnal.